As I grow in maturity, I am not quick to offer opinions and come to conclusions. My mind is perceptive and intelligent. But the intelligence itself makes me pause and wait. I do not take it for granted that my opinions are of value, and therefore there is no obstinacy, assertiveness, or pride in me. The first sign of maturity is to recognize my limitations and be humble and simple. This is Thought for Today, Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. The charming Radha Birner, president of the International Theosophical Society, made these statements, which I thought were interesting and provocative. As she said, "As I grow in maturity, I am not quick to offer opinions and come to conclusions. My mind is perceptive and intelligent, but the intelligence itself makes me pause and wait. I do not take it for granted that my opinions are of value, and therefore there is no obstinacy, assertiveness, or pride in me. The first sign of maturity is to recognize my limitations and be humble and simple." Now, I know in our positive way of looking at things, we say, "I recognize my limitations." Well, this is good and not so good, but let's just look at the good first. First, every one of us knows that we can go outside at 50 degree weather and be comfortable. Or every one of us knows we go outside at 50 degree weather and we're uncomfortable. These are our limitations, and so we dress accordingly. Every one of us knows that people like to be in our presence and enjoy our company, and that's a lovely thing. And every one of us knows that people don't like to be in our company and don't enjoy our company. And that's our limitation, and that's our choice. Now, when you know these limitations, that doesn't mean you stop there and let them dig in and stay. You merely recognize them and you go on from there. The wonderful thing about maturity, real maturity, and there are very few real mature people. Some of them are 8 years old, you know, and some of them are 20, and some of them are 50, 100, but every aged person is not mature, because many aged people act quite immature, and that's perfectly okay, too. Of course, they always did, really. If you look at an immature adult and you say, "When are they going to grow up, you know, or what are they doing, going backward?" They never did grow up. They never did take on maturity. And maturity, as she describes it here, you're not quick to offer opinions, and you don't think that people want to know your opinion. And many people just go out and sort of give their opinions without people wanting to know it. And then they wonder why people don't really cotton to them and get excited about being with them. I was talking to my relatives over the weekend, and they're all very special people, very, very wonderful people. And one of the things that struck me was that there were little innuendos that seemed to be true about some of the kids. And I would hear that innuendo a number of times. "Oh, they'll never amount to anything. They have no interest in life. They don't care." Now, you can't say things like that, because every time you say something like that, you empower it. Now, is that what you want for them? Is that what you would like for them, that they are limited? Or would you like for them that they are fantastic, glorious, wonderful, and, you know, moving on and moving out and experiencing great and wonderful things? If you do, then that is where you have to be humble. You have to recognize your limitation of viewing them in the now and not seeing them in the greater now. How can you look at a person in the now who is, let's say, 10 years old, 12, 15 years old, 100 years old, doesn't matter. How can you look at a person in the now and say, whatever they are, that's all they're ever going to be? Now you say, well, we're supposed to live in the now. Yes, we are. And what is the now supposed to be for each of us? The now for each of us is the allness, is the isness, is we are fantastic, we are glorious, we are wonderful, we are successful. You know, if you are learning to play the piano, and in the now, you are in first grade in the piano, then you say, that's not very good. But it is very good. For being in first grade, it's right where we are. Okay, now, in the now, you are in the 10th year. Well, that's quite good. You should have accomplished a great deal. Now, what if you didn't? What if in your 10th year, you're still down in the fourth year, you know, level, you just didn't pull yourself up? Well, in the now, we see ourselves wonderful. We see ourselves fantastic. We see ourselves playing. We could just see ourselves so strongly that we make that click, we make that turnover, and see who we really are. But we sometimes limit ourselves by the limitations of our past and the things that we think we can't do. And so instead of doing that, I know for me, I was singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer this morning. Mm-hmm. And this happened to be a nice May day and in sunny Southern California and all that sort of good stuff. And I was thinking, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he has such a shiny nose. And I was thinking, singing it to myself. And then all of a sudden I started making up words for myself. And I was thinking, why am I singing this song? Why am I making up words? Because it's fun. It's fun. And I could just see Rudolph, you know, sort of the pushed back guy that didn't belong because he had a funny nose and nobody wanted anything to do with him. And then along came a need for his funny little nose, and all of a sudden he was a fabulous guy. Now, my sister had the television on, and in the television there was an old friend, Jimmy Durante. Jimmy Durante had a big nose. He had a bulbous face. He was not an attractive man at all. Yet he could make thousands of people laugh and smile and giggle and feel wonderful. He was a master entertainer. Now, he did not have anything to allow him to be a master entertainer. He could not sing, and he sang. And he could not dance, but he danced. He could not make romance, but he made romance. And he played a few sentimental scenes which were quite charming. And his voice was yucky yuck, but he was a master. He was a master using what he had, where he was, and I guess the biggest thing was that he liked himself. He really thought Jimmy Durante is the greatest. Now, I don't know too much of his vaudeville career, where he was on stage and in Las Vegas and stuff like that. But I have a feeling that he did not have to get smutty in his jokes. He did not have to get dirty in his jokes. He could tell beautiful jokes and keep it clean. Beautiful jokes and keep it uplifting to people. People like to go. By the thousands, people would rant and rave over him and just delight in him. And when they went home, you'd say, well, what was so good about him? I don't know, but he sure made me laugh. Well, what'd you laugh about? I don't know, but he sure made me laugh. They don't even know. Because he was just picking fun of himself and picking fun of the crowd in a nice way. And he would have all sorts of strange characters, like Mrs. Calabash, and the strange names of the Southern California cities that he would bring out, he and Jack Benny and a few of the others. And they were delightful. But you see, they liked themselves. They didn't think they were superior to anybody else. They didn't try to be better than anybody else. They just were themselves, their wonderful selves. Now, I think your grandson, Matsumo, no, what's his name, Marcello? No, not Marcello, the other one.
Mattia.
Mattia is a super boy. What is he, about 12, 15? 12, 15. 13? 15. 15. He has the opportunity of being a space scientist. He has the opportunity of being a great musician. He has the opportunity of being a great sportsman, because he's good in all these things. But he's best in his love for animals and for farm life and things like that. Now, who needs animals and farm life? Well, it's not a matter of who needs them. That's where his heart is. And if he allows himself to pursue that goal, he not only will be one of the best, he will be the best. And that's all that matters. He'll be the best in his eyes. And he will do very well. Why will he be so successful if he follows that area? Because it will not be work. It will be a delight. It will be a fun time all the time for him. Now, do his family expect him to go on into the more intelligent areas of life? Not that farming is not intelligent, but everyone has always looked down on farming, because it's always so fundamental. And yet, if it weren't for farming, we wouldn't eat. If it weren't for farming, we wouldn't have a lot of fertilizers and a lot of other things for our gardens and flowers and all these other things. We look down upon it because it is so fundamental. It is so basic. And this is why mathematicians are looked down upon. They're so fundamental and so basic. Nobody really cares about mathematics. Nobody cares about chemistry. They care about Madame Curie finding radium, and they care about Pasteur, you know, pasteurizing milk, and they care about the atomic bomb, and they care about these things. But the scientists who are working in those fields are considered to be nothing. They're considered to be beyond the ken or the scope of everyone who looks at them. Now, why are they? Because people don't understand what the real depth is. Now, just say, for instance, your daughter was becoming an actress. Well, you would say, that's not good. You see, in the beginning stages of being an actress, that's not good, because there's a lot to learn and there's not much credit. In the later stages, when you're up on the stage and you're performing and you're applauded by the world, oh yes, then it's fine. But you see, there are people who are all confused. And one name is Shirley Temple. She didn't really know what was going on in this world. She was a child actress. And when she became older, she was not a good actress. She was a child actress and did very well. So what did she do? She married someone she loved, apparently, and then she became an ambassador to the United States, to other nations. Now, because she had to give of herself. Now, as a little girl, in all of the theaters, all the shows that she performed, what was she doing?
Being herself.
But she was being an ambassador. Mm-hmm. Herself was an ambassador. You see, all of her activities, she is making somebody happy. She is giving understanding, peace. She's giving the world a sense of you don't have to be angry with one another. You know? I mean, no one would have ever said that about her, because they wouldn't, they like the Little Colonel and all these other little shows she was in, they would think that, you know, that was just part of her movie career. But she, and you see, she didn't create scenes where she was put to a disadvantage. She always created scenes where she came out as a princess. Now, what a wise girl. You know, what a wise girl. And she would be raised by poor relatives who really were quite nice, you know, and very nice people. And they didn't have money, but she always had a nice dress and a nice whatever. And even her not nice dress was nice. But in any event, she was always an ambassador. She was always one who came up on top. And so she did for the rest of her life. Now, As we grow in maturity, are we learning these lessons that these other people seem to come across pretty well? Are we becoming really significant in our life? I did a memorial service for my sister and brother-in-law over the weekend in Delaware. And in the memorial service, I said, we send them with our love and our release on their next adventure as they graduate into another dimension of life. And they're having a great experience. And I said, we release them and let them go. And then I went around the patio. We were all out on the patio deck. And I said, all right, now, let's start with you, Marie. No, 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 I want to be last. So my sister chose to be last. But all the rest of them said lovely little things about their remembrances of May and Kip and how they influenced their life, and their son and daughter was there, and they said lovely things, and everybody said interesting things. And of course, the ones that stand out were that Kip's popcorn was the greatest, and Kip taught them how to tie their shoes, you know.
Lovely.
But, you know, that's something that is in our heart, you know.
It's a brittle.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bridge that brings them from the one level of consciousness to another. But you see, they're living and enjoying in the now and having such a great time. Well, I think memorial services should be like that.
Yeah.
They should be like that, where they're dead. You know, we don't know where they are. Hey, where did you go? You know, their body lays there, but they've taken off. But they have. They've taken off. They have gone on to some other dimension we don't know about, and that's great. But we should say, your body doesn't interest me. You know, but you, the spirit of you, is always in me, always inspiring me, always delighting me, always making me happy. Not that I need that, but everyone's life who touches ours makes us feel great and tremendous. So when Mrs. Bruner from the International Theosophical Society said the first sign of maturity is to recognize your limitations and be humble and simple, the recognizing of the limitations is what we do all the time. But then to be humble and simple about it and say, and so what? We move on from here. I always remember, kindly or unkindly, that I didn't have the sonorous voice or the gift of making humor as some comics do. But I like to sing. And my wife expected me to sing more traditionally, more professionally, as she understood it. But I sang what I like to sing, and I still do. And all of us should do that. Our mothers or our wives or husbands and family, whoever, may all have opinion of how we should do things. But if we do everything in the now to our greatest and happiest fun, then you got it made. Here at the Absolute Monastery, we teach one thing: to be yourself and have fun. To be yourself and have fun. Now that sounds like the simplest thing in the world, but it is not. It is the most complex thing in the world, because everything up to the moment of your coming to this monastery has taught you not to be yourself and certainly not have fun. That anything that is fun is illegal, immoral, or fattening. And you see, that's what we have built our life upon, and that's what we want to let go. So here at the monastery, you are learning the most tremendous, horrific, difficult task in the world, and that task is to be yourself. To be who you really are and enjoy it. And we'll, Matsumo or Marcello, Mattia, going against his family in complete odds to the intellectualism of his family into the humanism of the field he wants to go into. Set him aside for a while. But because it was a love deep in his heart, he couldn't ignore it. And he's following it well. And now his mother and father are harmonious with him, mm-hmm. guiding him, helping him to do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And he may not stay there. Mm-hmm. After he goes a couple of years in that, before he even becomes an adult, he may change his mind two or three times. Did we? We all have. And when children can do that before they even get older, and seriously, before they get older, wonderful things can happen in their life. They're in high gear before they even get in maturity. But that's wonderful. So, you have yourself a wonderful day, and know that I see you in a very crucial attitude that I know is not easy for you. But I see you there. You see, I want you to call me a master. I want you to look at me and see only a master. I want you to look at me and see only a master who is superlatively great, wonderful, fabulous. Because if you do that, then that's what you are. Because I'm your reflection. And at first you say, see you as a master? I know your faults. Oh, you do? They're your faults. Whatever you see in me is what you are. It's true, I may have those faults. But the thing is, whatever you see in me, that's what you are. So I would delight in having everyone see me as a master, because then they see themselves as a master. So with that word of joy and peace and confusion, I say, go for it. I love you. Have a wonderful day.